All right, big issue in Michigan yesterday. I don't know if you saw that. A lot of teeter-tottering. People weren't going to certify the results, at least in Detroit. Then the left did what the left does best. They intimidated, threatened, and things went through the way that they wanted to in the first place. We'll get to that. We'll cover it. Biden transition team has a member, a board member of Smartmatic, that company that owns Dominion. That's interesting, right? You never believe the role they want him to play in the Biden administration. And big tech was on the Hill. So much more. We've got a ton to get to today, folks. Hang in there. It's going to be a fun ride. It all starts right now. All right, here we go. Wednesday. Lots going on, folks. The annual tradition of laying wreaths at the gravesite of our fallen soldiers, our fallen heroes in Arlington was in question. It was going to be canceled, in fact, earlier this week. They expressed the Wreaths Across America organization, the actual organization behind this, expressed major disappointment, saying, as an organization, we are shocked by this unexpected turn of events. To say that we're devastated would be an understatement. The group noted that the event will still move forward at more than 2,400 other participating cemeteries. So that was earlier this week. But of course, Arlington is kind of what you picture, and it's huge, and it's just the awe there. And to have this event that happens every year be canceled because of COVID concerns and pandemic concerns, you're outside. Thankfully, President Trump intervened. And it is back in. Dan Crenshaw tweeted this out, talking about it. You can read his text there. The decision to cancel Wreaths Across America must be reversed immediately. Critical thinking must win out over emotion. Thank you. Please do not go to conversations with emotion. Large areas outside and well-spaced with masks on. It's perfectly safe. Our fallen deserve to be remembered. Then retweet if you agree. So it did get... Again, President Trump stepped in. This is changing, and it's good news. But, guys, they will push. Man, we have seen that. They will push and try and take anything away using fear as their cover. And in some case, legitimately just being scared. But regardless of whether it's being a tool being used to change something or they're pushing fear just on its own merit, it's not good. So I'm thrilled that that is still going to happen because I think it's a great thing that's done every year. And it should happen. It should happen. Speaking of restricting things, the fun police are here. We've talked about Fauci, CNN, their push for all this stuff with Thanksgiving and Christmas. We've talked about it ad nauseum lately here because they keep bringing it into question. We've heard from you, the viewers, and some of the awful scenarios that you're having to deal with, and we feel awful about it. Wish that there was more that we could do. But it's crazy out there. And now the CDC is getting involved. The fun police have joined. And they say that if you're going to, it's hard to even, if you're going to a holiday gathering, if you're going to celebrate with families, friends, etc., in a state that you're allowed to actually see other human beings, the list is getting smaller. But if you're going to do that, they don't want you singing, shouting, playing loud music, caroling, or drinking alcohol. Yeah. They don't want you getting too rowdy and pushing back against the rules. They said they encourage guests to avoid singing or shouting, especially indoors. Keep music levels down so people don't have to shout or speak loudly to be heard. They don't want the disease coming out of your mouth, shooting across the room, getting on those Christmas cookies. Or the olives or whatever you're eating as an appetizer and hanging out while you're kind of standing around waiting for Thanksgiving. And then they, like I said, they labeled alcohol as a high-risk activity. Now, we know that you're supposed to do everything in moderation. Not all of us have a gift at doing that. But we know the risks that come along with alcohol. But they're saying it, their quote is, using alcohol or drugs that may alter judgment and make it more difficult to practice COVID-19 safety measures. There's other states doing that too. Virginia, I think it was. There's several that have put that into play. Northam imposed a 25-person limit for all gatherings, along with an alcohol curfew. establishments selling alcohol have to close by midnight but can't serve alcohol past 10 p.m. That's going right now. They were at 250 people per gathering. Now they're down to 25. So lots of these different rules coming out across the country. Fox, as much as everyone's mad at them right now, had a good article that kind of broke down state-by-state regulations of what's going on. They didn't, not every state, but the ones that in particular have restrictions in place, which again is a lot. But they, I think it's funny, A, that they think these states think that they can get away with this. The CDC, to be clear, is not mandating it. They're suggesting it. But then the states are going to take that and run with it, and then they will mandate it. So it's still a problem. But I love that they're getting to the point now where there's curfews in place, alcohol curfews in place, and they're saying, and they're thinking, man, if these people who are mad at us now start drinking alcohol, what are they going to do then? They don't care about you spreading the virus. I mean, they do, but they want to be able to control you. And that is what is happening with all of this stuff. And it's ridiculous. And again, if you let them do it, they'll keep doing it and they will do it more. Pretty wild stuff. Pretty wild stuff. So watch your alcohol consumption. You don't want the governor or the CDC to come kicking your door in, break up the party. All right, guys, people who love to party, people who love this country are Mammoth Nation. You've got to check them out. They are America's conservative discount club. They are here to fight for you, for America, all the values that we hold so dear. And they want to make sure that liberal Democrats do not take over our government, do not take over the strategy and the path for this country. They really mean it, folks. They're awesome people. I wouldn't tell you if I didn't believe it. I do. Love them. Love their mission. Love their cause. It's just $19 a year to join. You can do so at mammothnation.com. You get tons of discounts on amazing products, services, all sorts of stuff that you're already going to buy, whether it's internet, travel, wireless, insurance, tons of other products. So it's amazing stuff. You're going to pay for that subscription, that membership, probably with that first purchase you make and the savings that you have there. So go check it out. I'm a lifetime member. If you become a lifetime member, they'll send you a free flag, some other goodies in the mail just for joining. It's really important, folks. It's better than a donation. You're joining the fight, trying to keep America great. By doing it, again, it's mammothnation.com, and go check it out. All right, so did you see, this was big last night, if you were on Twitter or social media. I don't know if you saw it, though, but the Wayne County, you know, Wayne County, one of the biggest counties, if not the biggest county in Michigan, certification board was in a deadlock. There's four individuals on it, and it was 2-2. The two Republicans were saying that they couldn't certify Detroit in particular, that precinct. They were more or less good with the rest of the county. But they said that basically we can't. This was a quote from Monica Palmer, who is the chairwoman and a Republican. Based on what I saw and went through in poll books in this canvas, I believe that we do not have complete and accurate information in those poll books. So had some questions, some concerns, saying, look, and to be clear, again, going to certify everything else in Wayne County. I have some questions here, not being some radical and saying we're calling everything off. And if there was justification for it, by the way, that would have been fine too. But just saying Detroit. People lost their mind all over the internet. The worst happened. They came after Monica and her colleague with the vitriol that you've grown accustomed to and expect from the left. Rashida Tlaib, though, we'll start with her response. This was her tweet. It's plain and simple, folks. Nothing's ever plain and simple for Rashida. That's not possible. She doesn't have the brain to handle that. But it's plain and simple, folks. The Republican members of the Wayne County Board of Canvassers put politics above their duty to our residents, something you, of course, cannot prove. Suggesting that all of Wayne County can be certified except for Detroit is a horrifying racist. Is horrifying, I think she meant comma there, racist and a subversion of our democracy. In other words, I'm threatened. I do not like that they're seeing concerns that happened in Detroit, a very liberal city, where we've seen tons of instances of shady you-know-what going on in Detroit, where ballots were being counted and processed. And they don't like it. They're panicking. They're flipping out. Just like they were flipping out when things changed in Nevada. Just like they're flipping out in a lot of other areas. Why we're 2 weeks past the election now and we don't have more concrete information coming out if it in fact exists, which I believe it does, I don't know, because we're just giving people more time to cover their tracks here, but they were concerned. They were flipping out over this. So that was her tweet. And then this is Democrat Ned Stabler basically threatening officials here. Here's a clip of him talking Rule 1.
We also know that the Secretary of State and the Attorney General have already tweeted out that your legal arguments are rubbish and you're going to lose when it comes to court. So we're not worried about that at all. I'm also not worried about any of your, things are bad so we can't certify arguments, because that's just ridiculous. You certified in August when they were worse. Less than 50% of the ballots were recountable. Now over 72% are. 58% of them were even balanced when it was less than 30% last time. So it's doubled. It's gotten way better because the Secretary of State actually jumped in and did her job, unlike you. But I know it's not going to change your opinion. You talked about not certifying Detroit, even though you acknowledge that Livonia, a city, by the way, I know you know is 95% white, had bigger variances than Detroit, which is 80% black. We understand, and you've now added your name. So I'm not going to try to change your mind. I just want to let you know that the Trump stink, the stain of racism that you, William Hartman, and Monica Palmer have just covered yourself in is going to follow you throughout history. Your grandchildren are going to think of you like Bull Connor or George Wallace. Monica Palmer and William Hartman will forever be known in southeastern Michigan as two racists who did something so unprecedented that they disenfranchised hundreds of thousands of black voters in the city of Detroit because they were ordered to. Probably, I know, Monica, you think Q told you to do it or some other crazy stuff like that. But just know, when you try to sleep tonight, that millions of people around the world now on Twitter know the name Monica Palmer and William Hartman as two people completely racist and without an understanding of what integrity means or a shred of human decency. The law isn't on your side. History won't be on your side. Your conscience will not be on your side. And Lord knows, when you go to meet your maker, your soul is going to be very, very warm.
I mean, that's amazing. So threatening, intimidating, basically, you know, without giving address info and stuff like that, that's coming in a later thing here that we're going to talk about. But in more or less doxing and kind of calling out, you know, sounding the horn for the crazy radicals that we've seen on this other side. Hey, here are the names. Here they are. They're racist. They're awful people. We're not providing any evidence as to why they are. Just that's what they do. That's what they say. You're questioning an election. We don't like your president. We don't like your values. We don't like this country. And you're threatening our ability to get in there and change it. The fact that he's willing to say that on a Zoom call and on some of his tweets, some of the things he says, that he thinks that he's not going to be judged, is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. They have tried to do exactly what they have always done. You disagree with them, they intimidate you, they cancel you, they dox you, they threaten you. It's absolutely unacceptable. If someone did that on the other side, I would say the same damn thing. You do not treat people that way. They saw something, that is their prerogative, that is their role and duty. If they have a question with it, and they claim that they have evidence that it's that it there's questions that need to be answered, then that's fair. Again, they were certifying the other areas. It's not like they said, hold up, we're just going to try and stop everything. No, we're going to talk about this one area. We see concerns here. Let's talk about it. But the left does not like to talk. They like to accuse. They like to counter, make counterpoints with assaults, verbal, physical, or otherwise. And it's ridiculous. And in case you're wondering, you kind of got a sense of who this Ned Stabler guy is. He's a freak show. But if the video wasn't clear, here's some tweets that he celebrated on his account. We'll just go through one at a time. This one he retweeted saying, decades from now, finding a red MAGA hat in a dead relative's trunk will be no different than finding Nazi memorabilia. Ludicrous. Not true. I don't own a MAGA hat for the record, but I support President Trump because everyone's gone after him so much, and he's done a lot of good for this country. Here's another one. Last time we defeated fascism, we drew up a list of people responsible, and then we killed them, so I think we're doing just fine now. He's responding to a Kevin Sorbo tweet. Again, lots of this list stuff. And then here, he retweeted, "You can still be a good person and enjoy videos of Nazis getting their lights punched out." True Nazis, sure, I'm all right with that. But conservatives, Trump supporters, are not Nazis. The small, I mean, less than a percent fraction of people that maybe are, okay. But that's not, you spill or spread this message that all people on the right are Nazis, fascists, this, that we talk about every damn day. So I'm so sick of it. It's so lazy and so not true when literally you're projecting what you are on the rest of the country. You are evil. You are hateful. You are intolerant of other people's opinions. You expect everyone to come along with you, or you are put on a list. You are canceled. You guys are the ones who do that. I don't know how you don't see that you are the ones doing that. We have not in the last 4 years done any of that. This country, this president, these people here. And again, if there's some radicals on the right, I know there are, that have done stuff like that, then shame on them. They're, discard them. Discard them in as it pertains to this national conversation. But a growing majority, the vast majority of Democrats have taken this intolerant, hateful, violent tone. There are still some moderates left. And they're scared for their lives because they don't know how to respond to where their party's going. They're not conservatives, but they're not these radical left people either. I feel bad for them. That's a tough spot to be in. It really is. But these attacks, ridiculous. Then you had, I don't know if he was on that same Zoom call or a different Zoom call, but you had state rep elect. He's going to be a state rep in 2021. Abraham Ayash, who threatened Monica Palmer. And I would say that Ned Stabler did there too. Because when you sound the alarm to these crazy radicals on the left, they get a name, they go with it. And then they, you know, whether it's Stabler or otherwise, I didn't tell them to do anything. You don't have to. You know how this works these days. You know how crazy your side has become. And the reason that in the end these people flipped back and ended up voting to certify is because of all these threats. They don't need to live that life. Being threatened, intimidated. So this Ayash character went after, named the school where her kids went while screaming, like Ned did, that she's a racist. So, hey, here are their names. Here's what they've done. They're racist. They're awful people. Not necessarily true. I don't know these two individuals. They could be. But we know that that is the lazy claim against it. I get called racist like 100 times a day. I can guarantee you I'm not. I love everyone, particularly those who accept different opinions and ideas. But because I have different ideas than the radical left, of course, me, you, the president, everyone else who has a different opinion is a racist, a bigot, fascist, a Nazi, everything that they are, but they want someone else to take the blame for. So you name them, you name the school where they go. These are children. This is absolutely beyond the pit. This is the fact that we are here as a country continues to validate this awful feeling in my heart that we are just past the point of repair. We're past the point of repair. It doesn't mean that we're going to the worst scenario possible, and we know what that is. And I hope, you know, again, I say it all the time, I hope we don't. I've seen what that looks like. We don't want that here. But we're definitely never going to like the other side, and vice versa. You can see Jack Posobiec, who's been on the show, reach out there. He sent out a Parler and a Twitter message. He said, "Take note what happened tonight. Two Republican officials in Michigan stood up to the machine. Within minutes, they were doxed and threatened. CNN and Politico labeled them racist. Where did this behavior lead?" So, I mean, everyone is seeing it. A rational-minded person, of course, Republicans and conservatives, according to them, cannot be rational or level-headed. But anyone with half a brain and a reasonable heart should be seeing this behavior's not okay. Doesn't matter who's doing it. It's just not. So crazy. So crazy. And again, they switched their votes back because of all of this. And we just gave you a couple examples there. Of course, everyone on Twitter, a bunch of people that's their voice doesn't necessarily matter. But when you're Monica Palmer, for example, and you've got thousands of people threatening you, calling you awful things, you understand the duress she's in. I'm not saying that I support her flipping it back, but I'm just saying, look, she's not, she's just trying to do her job. And it's more a condemnation on the state of this country, that where we are, what happened as a result of all of this. It's awful. Once again, the Dems get their way. Their intolerant behavior. It's ridiculous. Democrats aren't the only problems we've got. They're certainly probably the biggest problem we've got. But another one, guys, is what's happening south of your border. I am talking about your junk. Most men's underwear these days do not provide actual support. They just smash your goods, rub against your thigh, resulting in sweating, sticking, rubbing, all sorts of stuff. You've seen us adjust. It's not comfortable for us. It's not comfortable for you. So let's end it. Their UFM's patented pouch system eliminates all skin-on-skin contact in your nether regions. Just think of it like social distancing, but in your pants. UFM moves with your body so you can go from one activity to the next without a second thought. They're great for sports, work, everyday use. There's medical applications. They're awesome, guys. They're awesome because of their unique drawstring adjustable support pouch, which allows you to increase the support to your preference and provides actual support, a novel concept. It's the holiday season, folks. UFMs make a great gift. You can save by using promo code Drew at checkout. You just got to go to ufmunderwear.com. Use promo code Drew at checkout. Treat yourself right, men. Ladies, get your husband, your son, children, whoever, a pair of these. They'll be glad that you did. You'll be glad that they did, because you don't have to watch them adjusting everything. Again, it's ufmunderwear.com. Use promo code Drew to get $6 off. All right, real quick before we go to break. Speaking of the election, which we've been talking about, you know, Trump continues to assert the fact that despite the, you know, people talking over the weekend that he conceded. No, he didn't. And he said he didn't. But he continues to assert the fact that he won. The truth will come out. Someone who's also pushed that narrative, citing a fire hose flow worth of evidence, is new Trump legal team member Sidney Powell, who, of course, has made waves this week saying that they're going to release the Kraken. She claims Trump's won by millions. So we'll see. We'll see. I don't dispute that. I don't dispute the fact that I think that there's been some shenanigans going on and that evidence and all the conversation, whether all of it's true or not, points to the fact that at least this thing is not over. I am concerned that in the end we still will lose, because that's just what we do. Conservatives roll over. The GOP rhinos roll over. People have got to get a backbone. And I think we're more and more people are waking up and saying, no, we're not taking this. And hopefully we're helping push people there as well. But you got to remember, some of the people in D.C. in particular, and a lot of people just around the country, will roll over. They'll say, all right, well, we tried. We said we didn't like it, but we're not really willing to do anything else. So we'll just circle back. And that's why I still have concerns that we'll win this, because it's not because of Trump, his legal team's effort. It's not because of, is there evidence, not evidence. It's because that's just always how we've done it. We've gotten walked over. We've allowed the Dems to walk over us. But what's interesting and just should be noted is all these conversations are happening. We talked about Eric Coomer and that, you know, that cat from Dominion, Antifa dude, yesterday. Talked about loads of other stuff, which, again, some of which might not be true. We always say, look, we're just asking the question. It's out there now. Let's talk about it. Something else that should be talked about and that Powell brought up this week, if you hadn't heard, is that retired Admiral Peter Neffinger is the president and a board member of Smartmatic. He's also on the Biden transition team. Smartmatic, if you remember, the company that owns Dominion, international company, has helped handle Venezuelan elections, all this stuff. I mean, just shady, shady crap that should raise alarms for everyone on every side. But he's involved there. He's now on Biden's presidential transition team, and he's slated to be on the Department of Homeland Security team in particular. So he's dealing with Homeland Security, keeping our nation safe, tied to a nefarious, potentially nefarious, by all accounts looks nefarious, company in Smartmatic, who it would seem did what they've done in so many other countries around the world and meddled with our election here. And meddling happens in every election. It's going to happen in every election moving forward, too. It's never going to stop. We're going to do it in other countries, too. But this all, just, there's so much going on here. Powell's also said that Biden should concede now before he incriminates himself further. I think that's a really interesting narrative. I don't think he'll do it. But I think it's an interesting narrative. And there's just a lot to track here. And there's a lot of reason to not be the typical GOP person, to not be the typical Republican, whatever you want to be called, and roll over. In the end, if it's proven that we lost, then you concede and you do it like an adult, unlike the Democrats. But we're not there yet. We are not there yet, folks. One of the fights that we've got to continue as well is the fight against big tech. We're going to talk about that. Jack Dorsey, Zuckerberg, all the others were back on the Hill yesterday, virtually, of course, because it's 2020. We'll talk about that, though, in a second. Before we head to break, though, please, guys, go to drewberkowitz.com. Super important that you do. Great commentary there. You can get news articles from our staff, from partner sites. You can sign up for our newsletter. Super easy to do. You can watch the show there. You can listen to the show there. You can watch clips of the show there. You can do a lot there. And the best part is, the most important part is if there's a major announcement coming, a major change coming, we've been shut down somewhere or something like that, that is where you'll find us. Hopefully we're not. You know, right now we're getting squelched and absolutely screwed here in particular. But hopefully that lets up. Hopefully the worst never comes. But that is always where you can find us, okay? DrewBerkowitz.com. Bookmark it on your laptop, your desktop, your phone, your iPad, etc. Also, give us a like on Facebook, Twitter, Parler. Super important. Parler in particular, trying to grow that audience, at Real Drew Berkowitz. You can search Drew Berkowitz, at Real Drew Berkowitz. It'll come up. You'll recognize the logo. And just go ahead and click follow or subscribe there, depending on the page you're on. For YouTube, please click subscribe down here in the corner. It is the best way to push back against all of this. Click the bell icon that comes up afterwards to get notifications. Click all. I promise we won't spam you. We don't do that many videos a day that come out. So that gives you a better shot. Not a guarantee, as we have seen. Most people are not getting notified, which is one of their fun little games they play. But click that. So hopefully if things let up, you do get notified. In the meantime, keep coming, searching for us. Just type in Drew Berkowitz. Go find it. You know, typically our videos are out 2:33 and beyond. So look forward to getting past all of this, but we really need your help on these new ones as well. Like I said, Parler, some big news coming on Rumble. We're working with them on adjusting stuff, but we'll let you know as soon as that is final. I would think it will be this week, but we'll keep you posted there. All right, we'll get to this big tech stuff on the other side of the break. Stick around. Life in America isn't what it used to be. What liberal Democrats have planned for this country and your family would be devastating. At Mammoth Nation, we're committed to supporting conservative candidates. We also stand behind our police, military and veterans, the Second Amendment, and so much more. You only get one vote. Mammoth Nation's here to make sure it counts. We need your support, so join Mammoth Nation today.
It's better than a donation. Savings from just one purchase can pay for your entire membership. Become a lifetime member today. Go to mammothnation.com.
The only proper way to adjust your set.
Yeah.
Underwear for men. Set them once and done for all day comfort.
Do you love freedom? Do you love being clean? Then you'll love Hero Soap Company. Made in the USA. Chemical and fragrance free. A portion of each purchase donated to veteran and first responder charities. Initial subscription purchase is matched bar for bar and sent overseas to deploy troops. Let freedom clean. Hero Soap Company.
All right, welcome back, folks. This segment brought to you by Hero Soap Company, amazing veteran-owned company. Products made with all natural essential oils made right here in the USA as well. They do a ton, folks, a ton to get homeless veterans off the street working with Operation Finally Home. And their soap is literally awesome. I use it every day. I tell you that all the time because it's true. It's amazing. They've got tons of variety there, tons of different scents. There's stuff for men, there's stuff for women. They've got new body washes. So head on over to herosoapcompany.com, subscribe for a no contract monthly delivery of soap straight to your front door. Never run out again. It's the holiday season. They've also got these new freedom boxes that are great. So check them out. Get one for yourself. Get one for your loved ones, your friends, your colleagues, anyone that you know that smells. Head on over there again. Herosoapcompany.com. Use promo code Drew to save 10% and let freedom clean. So big tech back on the Hill. They were just there recently. They were back. And talking about censorship, talking about bias, talking about Section 230, talking about a lot of the same stuff that was just recently discussed at their last appearance. And let me say this on it too, and just on all of this big tech stuff. We're pushing over to other platforms, as we've said. We're trying to grow Parler. It's going slow. Please help us go over there and follow us at Real Drew Berquist. But we're trying to go over to Parler. We're making some moves with Rumble. Looking forward to doing that and growing that audience there and ensuring that we're not censored as it pertains to these videos and these shows. So we're doing that like everyone else because that's just kind of the way it is, and we're getting crushed here on YouTube. I mean, literally, they took 150 followers again from us yesterday. I'm sure they'll do it again today. All of that leads to less revenue, less opportunity for us to keep things going. It's really, really tough. It's a bad time. But I'm angered and I'm upset that we need to do it. I'm angered and upset that YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, etc. We don't do Instagram. I'm on there, but we don't do it. Just so you know, if you follow me, like, don't expect anything to really come up there. But they don't want free speech. They don't like it. So I'm angered that we're at the point, and I've said this before, where we have liberal platforms and now conservative platforms emerging. Because like everything else, and I know that I can't do anything to stop this, nor can you. Collectively, we could if the other side was willing to play ball, but they're not. But it means the conversation's over. There's no working it out, agreeing to disagree. There's no more discussion. It's just, you guys go here, we'll go here. And we knew that it was over. We knew the conversation's over because it's over on so many issues. But if we can't talk, if we can't have that exchange of ideas and dialogue, we can't agree to disagree, we can't say that's okay and have thick skin if someone says, you know what, I hate your ideas, I hate your face. A lot of people hate my face. I don't particularly like my face, but I was born with it. And I'm welcome to my ideas. I'm welcome to my opinions, just like you are if you oppose them. So, look, there's trolls on every site. Republicans troll Democrats, too. It's not like, but like the fact that we're now saying, okay, you can do that, but you can't. And this publication can say this, but this one can't. And all that stuff is happening. It's just so damning for our country. And it shows that we can't actually remain a functioning country because we're really just not anymore. So we're pushing to these new platforms. We're hoping that you come with us. We're hoping that we can grow even more than we have on some of these other ones at those new platforms. But I hate that we're having to do it because it's so bad for our country. It's so bad for the discourse, the conversation. It's just, it's not good. And it'll be nice in the near term to not get trolled as much. It'll be nice to not get censored. But we need people to come there. And in the end, this will all end in disaster. Sorry to share the bad news, but in the end, it's not good because you've got two silos. And anyways, so big tech back on the Hill. The highlights, as you've probably seen some of them, lots of people exchange their thoughts, lots of grandstanding, lots of opportunities for the people on the Senate Judiciary Committee to get their points across for their constituents. But Ted Cruz, of course, had some of the most popular exchanges, we'll call them, yesterday. And the first one that we'll show you is just him talking about transparency. This was the exchange rule two.
Yesterday, Mr. Dorsey, you and I spent a considerable amount of time on the phone, and you said that you wanted to embrace transparency. So I want to ask you, I've asked Twitter, I've asked Facebook multiple times, how many times have you blocked Republican candidates for office, their tweets or their posts in 2016, in 2018, and 2020? How many times have you blocked Democratic candidates for office? How many times have you blocked Republican office holders? How many times have you blocked Democratic office holders. Twitter has repeatedly refused to answer that question with specific hard data and cataloging the examples. In the interest of transparency, which you said you want to embrace, will you commit in this hearing right now to answer those questions in writing?
It's exactly what we want to do.
Okay. I'm sorry, Mr. Dorsey, I didn't hear you.
That's exactly what we're pushing for as we think about building upon 230.
Is that a yes that you will answer those questions in writing?
Transparency, not just of outcomes, but also our process as well.
Is that a yes that you will answer those questions in writing?
We'll certainly look into it and see what we can do.
And actually answer them and not give lawyerly doublespeak about why you're not going to give specifics. Answer them. Will you commit to this committee that you will answer those questions?
We're going to work to answering broader transparency around outcomes.
All right, that's a no. Mr. Zuckerberg, how about you? Will you commit that Facebook will answer those specific questions, cataloging the number of instances in which Democrats in 16, 18, and 20 have been silenced versus the number of instances in which Republicans have been silenced on Facebook?
Senator, I'm not sure if we have that data available, but I will follow up with you or your team.
Okay, I'm going to take that as a yes, and I'm going to take Twitter. We'll see if it's a yes or transparency is bogus and we don't intend to provide it.
So, no surprise, right? I mean, they're not going to give you a clear answer. They never do. And any time that they have given more of a straightforward answer, it's then followed up with a caveat of some sort, leaning back on their policies, saying that, you know, it comes up in multiple clips there. It came up weeks ago where, yes, you can do this. It's going to... I think it's the publishable one that's coming up next that it'll show it in. But, you know, they'll use terms and words to kind of wordsmith things around, like, oh, well, you're not suspended, you're blocked, and you can be unblocked as soon as you take down the tweet that we disagree with. Well, that is censorship. If it was like a awful racist slur or a threat, like an actual violent criminal threat towards someone, then sure, that's fine. But when you're talking about news, you're talking about exchanging ideas and thoughts. And they can do that and say, well, it aligns with the policy, but we will let you continue to be on our platform and be free for all as long as you take down the tweet that we have concerns about and disagree with. That's not right. And again, like I've always said, like if that's how you feel, which clearly it is, that's what the evidence points to on a daily basis across the board, come out and say, Twitter is a place for all liberal voices to be heard. Like, just come out and say, we hate America, we hate conservatives. If you want to bash them, this is the place to do it. And if you're a conservative publisher, talk show host, radio show host, commentator, influencer, etc., do not come here because we will treat you like garbage. If you would just say that, then we would know. But the problem is we're all stuck in this machine where there's not many platforms out there. Thankfully, Parler's coming up, and they're growing and hopefully continue to make modifications and get better as they go. Rumble is doing the same. There's others out there, but everyone has consistently always gone here. And there's always been this uncertainty among a lot of people. Well, maybe that's not true. Maybe they don't really do that. You should know by now it is true. They do that. And there's evidence all over the place. They just have so much protection. They have so much money. They have so much power that they can say, well, we're not going to really answer your question. But thanks for having me here today. Ridiculous. So speaking of what's publishable and what's not, this was a longer exchange, but I'm going to let it roll for a little bit, and then we'll talk about it. This is Cruz saying that they're basically playing God again like they always do, Rule 3.
Big tech exercises massive power. It also enjoys massive corporate welfare. Through the effect of Section 230, a special immunity from liability that nobody else gets. Congress has given big tech, in effect, a subsidy while they become some of the wealthiest corporations on the face of the planet. Mr. Dorsey, I want to focus primarily on Twitter and ask you initially, is Twitter a publisher?
Is Twitter a publisher?
Yes.
No, we are not. We distribute information.
So what is a publisher?
An entity that is publishing under editorial guidelines and decisions.
Well, your answer happens to be contrary to the text of federal statute, particular section 230, which defines an information content provider as any person or entity that is responsible in whole or in part for the creation or development of information provided through the internet or any other interactive computer service. Let me ask you, was Twitter being a publisher when it censored the New York Post?
No, we have very clear policies on the conduct we enable on the platform. And if there's a violation, we take enforcement action, and people choose to commit to those policies and to those terms of service.
Except your policies are applied in a partisan and selective manner. You claim it was hacked materials, and yet you didn't block the distribution of the New York Times story that alleged to talk about President Trump's tax returns, even though a federal statute makes it a crime to distribute someone's tax returns without their consent. You didn't block any of that discussion, did you?
Our policy was focused on distribution of the actual hacked materials.
Did you block the discussion of the president's tax return material?
And in the New York Times case, we interpreted it as reporting about the hacked materials.
Did you block Edward Snowden when he illegally released material?
I don't have the answer to that.
The answer is no. You have used this in a selective manner. Let me ask you, were you being a publisher when you forced Politico, another journalistic outlet, to take down their tweets on a topic that you had deemed impermissible?
No. We were enforcing our policy and our terms of service.
So on October 15th, Jake Sherman, a reporter at Politico, tweeted the following. I tweeted a link to the New York Post story right after it dropped yesterday morning. I immediately reached out to the Biden campaign to see if they had any answer. I wish I'd given the story a closer read before tweeting it. Twitter suspended me. So you actually have a reporter reporting on a story, asking the other side for comment. And Twitter says, hi, Jake Sherman, your account at Jake Sherman has been locked for violating Twitter rules. Now, what did the Politico reporter do? Immediately tweets after that, my goal was not to spread information. Well, that's a little worrisome just in and of itself. My goal was to raise questions about the story. Oh, my overlords in Silicon Valley, I was attacking the New York Post. You don't understand. I was attacking them, as I did in subsequent tweets, and see how the Biden campaign was going to respond. They later did respond. And then, not long after, Jake Sherman comes back with, my account is clearly no longer suspended. I deleted the tweet. When Twitter is editing and censoring and silencing the New York Post, the newspaper with the fourth highest circulation in the country, and Politico, one of the leading newspapers in the country, is Twitter behaving as a publisher when it's deciding what stories reporters are allowed to write and publish and what stories they're not?
No, and that account was not suspended. It fell afoul of the hacked materials policy. We realized that there was an error in that policy and the enforcement.
Hold on. I'm literally looking at the tweet from Twitter that says your account has been locked. You're telling me that this is not an accurate...
That's a lock and can be unlocked when you delete the...
I understand that you have the star chamber power. Your answer is always, well, once we silence you, we can choose to allow you to speak. But you are engaged in...
I love the terms... overlord and star power, all the stuff he's using there, but it makes so much sense. And again, look, I get why they're not answering questions. They're private corporations. They've got this whole system set up to their benefit. There's lots of thought that they're working together, whether they are or not doesn't matter. They're squelching voices. They're doing what they're doing, and they're hiding behind Section 230. They're hiding behind semantics, like you just saw there and we talked about before. Well, he wasn't suspended, he was blocked. Well, it's the same thing. Your account is closed. You cannot do things. People cannot interact with you until you delete a tweet that they do not like. So yes, it can be fixed instantly if you comply with them and take down stuff that will push out a conversation that they do not like. But again, like, what's the matter? What's the difference? The same thing has happened. You have censored that person. You have censored that thought. If it was again, violent, criminal, if it was pornography, if it was anything like that, fine, by all means, we all should want that blocked. We don't necessarily all. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, I look at this election different. I like Trump. I don't like Trump. I like this. I don't like that. I'm pro-life. I'm pro-Second Amendment. Well, we don't feel that way, so we're going to block that. And once you comply, this will once again be a platform for all. Until you do comply, though, it is just a platform for us. It's just absolutely ridiculous. And then what we've seen here lately, post-election, these last 2 weeks, and you see it everywhere. See it on Facebook. You see it on Google searches. You see it on YouTube, right here, below a lot of my videos and everyone else's videos. The AP has called this. There's no evidence of widespread voter fraud. In fact, it's shown to be rare. All these statements to continue to push this narrative to America that, hey, it's okay. Biden won. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about how he won. He won. The AP called it. Who gives a flying you-know-what, whether the AP called it or not? The AP doesn't call it. Fox doesn't call it. CNN, ABC, NBC, CBS, none of them call it. Google, Facebook, Twitter do not call it. That's not how it works. That's how they want it to work. Lord, they'd love for it to work that way. But you've seen on Twitter everything being labeled. President Trump's, all of his tweets getting labeled. That's not accurate. What he's saying is not accurate. It doesn't go along with what the media is saying. And this was him talking about voter fraud and these labels on Twitter. This is Cruz and Dorsey talking about that. Roll 4.
Let me shift to a different topic. Mr. Dorsey, does voter fraud exist?
I don't know for certain.
Are you an expert in voter fraud?
No, I'm not.
Well, why then is Twitter right now putting purported warnings on virtually any statement about voter fraud?
We're simply linking to a broader conversation so that people have more information.
No, you're not. You put up a page that says, quote, voter fraud of any kind is exceedingly rare in the United States. That's not linking to a broader conversation. That's taking a disputed policy position. And you're a publisher when you're doing that. You're entitled to take a policy position, but you don't get to pretend you're not a publisher and get a special benefit under Section 230 as a result.
That link is pointing to a broader conversation with tweets from publishers and people all around the country.
Mr. Dorsey, would the following statement violate Twitter's policies? Quote, absentee ballots remain the largest source of potential voter fraud.
I imagine that we would label it so that people can have more context.
How about this quote? Quote, third-party organizations, candidates, and political activists, voter fraud is particularly possible where, quote, third-party organizations, candidates, and political party activists are involved in, quote, handling absentee ballots. Would you flag that as potentially misleading?
I don't know the specifics of how we might enforce that, but I imagine a lot of these would have a label pointing people to a bigger conversation.
Well, you're right. You would label them because you've taken the political position right now that voter fraud doesn't exist. I would note both of those quotes come from the Carter Baker Commission on Federal Election Reform. That is Democratic President Jimmy Carter and former Secretary of State James Baker. And Twitter's position is essentially voter fraud does not exist. Are you aware that just 2 weeks ago in the state of Texas, a woman was charged with 134 counts of election fraud? Are you aware of that?
I'm not aware of that.
If I tweeted that statement with a link to the indictment, would you put a warning on it that says, well, the Democratic Party position right now is voter fraud doesn't exist?
I don't think it's useful to get into hypotheticals, but I don't believe so.
You don't believe so? Well, we're going to test that because I'm going to tweet that and we'll see what you put on it.
All right. So, look, not everyone likes Ted Cruz. Obviously, the left does not like Ted Cruz. There's people even in the GOP that don't like him. But all of his question statements in that conversation there were fair points to bring up and to be addressed. And those things don't link, as Cruz, you know, pushed back against when Dorsey said it. They don't link to a broader conversation. They are used as a tool to convince people, to manipulate people into thinking this is over. The vast majority of us are saying this, the mainstream media and big tech, so it must be true. If everyone's saying it, it must be true. No. Learn how the other side plays. That's not accurate. There is voter fraud, and there's probably voter fraud that went the other way too. You can't have a bunch of imperfect, awful human beings running around. Look, newsflash, we're all black-hearted sinners out there. You can't have a bunch of people running around and expect everything to just go flawlessly and perfect. It's not going to happen anywhere, anytime, ever. So you can say, okay, well, it's not widespread. Okay, but look, the reason you're putting up all these things there is to try and get everyone on your page and just shh, don't talk about this. Don't talk about this. But that is so irresponsible and so not factual, all the things they are saying. And this election is not over. They keep putting that, the AP, again, the AP has called this. The AP does not call this. They can call it. It's their right to do so. But it does not mean they're right, and it does not make it official. This election is not officially over. In the end, we could lose. At which point, people have got to move on. But it is not over. It's not over. So the way that they're handling this is so ridiculous. Do I think after this hearing and the hearing before that they're going to change? No. I don't. You could argue, okay, the mass exodus to Parler, to Rumble, this, that, and the other is going to hurt them. The mass exodus at Fox is going to hurt them. But do these people care? Or are they so arrogant, stuck on their principles, their ideologies, that they don't? And that they kind of see this, even though they're losing money, as a victory. I kind of tend to think that way. I don't know. I can see an argument for either way, but I also think that part of the problem is there's a lot of people who say they're fed up with them, but then they don't leave. They, oh, I'm so mad at Fox. Let me see what's on Fox. Oh, I hate Twitter. I gotta check my Twitter feed. Like, you know, they're not going to lose as much as tough as everyone's talking out there about leaving. They're not going to lose all that. But again, I think in the end, because they are so focused on radically changing America, the ideology, the principles and beliefs that we base it on, that if people leave that they don't like, I don't think they care. I just don't. I mean, my bigger concern too with it is not will they fix themselves, but will they eventually get their hands on some of these other platforms? They get their hands everywhere, folks. If you haven't noticed, Drudge Report was bought. It is a travesty what happened there now. And they did it slowly to try and trick you. Now it's all out. But Fox News, places that you once went to as your safe place. Okay, I know I can go to Drudge and they'll set me down the right course. I know I can go to Fox and I'll get content that I want. They were all bought. Nothing is sacred. So unless we have the same spirit, approach, and attitude that they do, and inherently we as conservatives and GOP don't, they're going to keep doing this. And they will find ways to continue to reach, touch, affect, manipulate those areas. Most fair conservatives, there's crazy people on both sides, but most normal, reasonable, rational, fair conservatives are loving, accepting people, don't want division, don't want to fight. Doesn't mean we haven't fought. Doesn't mean I haven't fought overseas, that tons of conservatives haven't fought overseas. But this game that we're playing right now on a national level, it's like fighting Al-Qaeda or ISIS, the Taliban, Al-Shabaab, fill in the blank. It's really tough to beat them because we tend to play by the rules. They do not. They make their own rules. It was really tough. And look, it's the same thing here too. Look, we were so much better trained, better equipped, capable of defeating. And we have defeated, but for the most part, you know, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Taliban, etc., far superior fighting force. But they're lawless. They play by no rules, and they're willing to do anything to get their way. We have standards and are rational, reasonable people. It's the same thing here. The Dems have nothing. If there was ever a fight between Democrats and Republicans for real, they don't stand a chance. But we don't want to fight. They know that. They take advantage of that. We follow the rules. They don't. They know that. They take advantage of that. So it's really tough to beat them outright when it's a game like that. But don't make no mistake about it. I mean, this is an insurgency against America, against our values. They've got really loud voices, really expensive cameras and microphones. They've got social media platforms. They've got a lot of things going their way. And they're going after the American way. They're going after the American people. So if we play the way we've always played, we will lose. We just will. So chew on that. It's a big thing to take in. What's happening right now is a big thing to take in. Your hearts should be troubled. You should rest in the fact that God is in control. And that I still think that there's some good outcomes to this. But what's happening right before us is a really big deal. So chew on that. Take that. And we got two more shows to come this week, guys. We can't wait to spend more time with you. We appreciate your support. We greatly, greatly appreciate your support. Keep coming. Share away. Friends, colleagues, other people that you think need to hear this, want to hear this. Or even if you don't, just share it away anyways, because it would really go a long way in helping us. Give us a like. Follow us on all the different social platforms. Go over to drewberkowitz.com. Check it out. Bookmark it. Again, we really, really appreciate you guys. We'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Take care.